The original, 1981, isn't really completely convincing. And yet, it's one of my go-to horror films because it feels good and it's got a very interesting, quite hokey, but a very interesting sense to it. This is The Fog. John Carpenter's The Fog with Adrienne Barbeau, Jamie Lee Curtis. And I last night watched the 2005 version of The Fog. It's a remake. It's produced by Deborah and John, as in the first kind of the first movie. Well, he directed the first movie, of course. And it really is a little bit warmed over, really. There's less gore and less scares and more comfort in this movie. For instance, one of the big changes in this movie is Tom Atkins as Nick Castle in that first movie. And the thing about his character is that he picks up the character played by Jamie Lee Curtis in the first movie. And in that first movie, she's called Elizabeth Stolley. In that first movie, there is a sense that, well, they just don't know each other. They simply don't know each other. She's a hitchhiker. He's travelling back. And they meet. And there's a conversation which is similar to, are you one of those weirdos? I think I am. Oh, thank goodness for that. I've been really bored by the last guy. And they have a sexual relationship. And there's no need to explain why that is. No need to explain why that is at all. It just is. And there's also no sense that they will be together for the rest of their lives. He also looks like he's a lot older than her. Like he's experienced. And we don't need to have that kind of conversation either. We don't need to say, and it's because of this. Oh, you know, we met together and now we're having some kind of sexual relationship. It's a bit weird. None of that is in the original. And there's no need to explain it. Here, that is completely anodyne. It's completely excised. Because Tom Welling, who's much younger and conventionally good-looking, Mr. Atkins is not conventionally good-looking, I don't believe, in the first film. But he's interesting. He's actually having a relationship with Elizabeth Williams, played by Maggie Grace. They are of a similar young age, and he is dabbling with Stevie Wayne, played by Selma Blair in this film. But really, he knows that Maggie, who's been away for a while, is coming back, and he meets her as a hitchhiker. But they are in a relationship. So there is a scene which is quite... Well, it's a scene that you expect where they're in a shower and touching each other's bodies and all that. Really hokey, to be honest. And it's all okay because they're boyfriend and girlfriend. So it's all right. It's very well prescribed. Whereas in the first movie, you don't need that. No one needs to explain that these two have just met and they're attracted to each other and they're kind of together. They might not be together after this movie. They might not be together in the future. But they're together for the now, and no need to explain it. What you also get in that movie is a sense of otherworldliness. a sense that this has never happened. That the scene, that some of the lines are created with lots of air around them. Things like the line about there's a fog bank and it's moving against the wind. Never seen a fog bank do that before. And although the fog here looks better because you've got CGI and so you can get softer fog and harder fog and the way it comes through the windows and all of that, that looks better. The sort of green glow that you saw in the fog of the first movie when the fog bank was moving in. And even then, and I saw it not in 1980, it was 1980 when it came out, not 81. I thought when I saw it for the first time, and that was sort of towards the end of the 80s, I suppose, middle of the 80s, I thought that doesn't look great, does it? There is a homeliness to it. We're trying our best. It has some scares. There is that lovely scene where they're in the 7-Eleven and things are going wrong there, where suddenly all of the cars, their horns start beeping and the lights start going on, all of that. And there's less of a plot explanation in that first movie. Here you've got, okay, they came on the Elizabeth Dane, the boat, to the island, and they had leprosy, and there was a contract, they were going to be on the island, they were bringing booty as well, and four people from the island went and killed them and torched the boat where they burned them alive. They lost the booty, and that's where it comes up and all of that. And you've got the child grabbing a hairbrush, a barnacled hairbrush, on this version, rather than the Elizabeth Dane sign. But there aren't very many scares here, and it looks a bit cheap, really. For instance, they've got the anniversary, and that's what you've got in the first movie as well. Famously, the person who, it's Janet Leigh, who is the person who's organising that. And you don't see, well, you do see the ceremony, and it looks like a fairly big affair. Here, you've got it outside by some statues, and there are about six people gathered around. Is that it? And all the lights go out at one point, and you think that now it's going to get a bit frightening. But no, they don't use that at all. You've also got things like Selma Blair is trying her best to have that sort of cut off, I'm here all night feel. But she's not being helped at all. Rupert Wainwright, the director, doesn't seem to have that feeling of being cut off. When we see the radio station in the lighthouse in the first movie, she has to walk down steps and walk a long way to get there. You get the feeling that this is way away from the mainland. In this movie, she pulls up, Selma Blair, Stevie Wayne, pulls up to the lighthouse, and it's just there. Oh, it's just off the high street. Oh, yeah, it's next to Superdrug. Oh, yeah, there's a 7-Eleven just by it. It's not supposed to be. Plus, there are other scenes that are scary in the first movie. The tape of the jingles that starts to go, you know, in that kind of Exorcist type way, as the piece of driftwood, the sign from the Elizabeth Dane, is igniting on the counter. Here we've got the brush that's igniting on the counter, but really what you get is a lot of computers that seem to be on the fritz. Well, you might have been hacked by Russians. It doesn't seem to have the same kind of fear, worry. Plus the seagrass in the first film, it's just three friends who are out taking a boat out, drinking themselves silly and coming back. Here you've got a party with girls. Hey, trying to excite the girls. Well, it's not frightening. There's not much blood. And when you see, and this should be better, the pictures of the ghostly crew in the fog, because they've got long hair and hats and all of that, they look like shadows of members of the Black Crows. It doesn't seem like frightening. Plus, they don't hammer on, they've still got the knock on the door, they don't hammer on the door with big hooks anymore. Billhooks. No, they do. They don't do that. They do it with a cane. Plus, at the end of it, you've got one of the characters, Elizabeth Williams, who looks like one of the women who was on the Elizabeth Dane. Basically, she succumbs to the main guy, becomes a ghostly figure. I don't know how. I really don't know how. And that's it. There are a lot of problems with this. Just follow the original movie if you can. For instance, the vicar played wonderfully by, or the priest played wonderfully by Hal Holbrook in the first movie. It's just, he was a secret drinker in that. A secret drinker, Father Malone, in that movie. And he had the booty that the pirates wanted, well, that the Elizabeth Dane crew wanted. And everybody knew he was a drinker. Everybody knew he was dissolute, but he was doing it because you wouldn't expect him to be sitting out in front of everybody having a drink from a bottle. This is what Adrian Hoffer's Father Malone does. And it's not Adrian Hoffer's fault, is it? But he's sitting in the graveyard, openly drinking from a bottle. So he has no kind of gravitas. You can't have feet of clay if you've not been built up at all. You're supposed to be the priest. You're supposed to be the basis of succor in this town. And it shows with Hal Holbrook that something's missing and something is wrong. It was such a letdown, this movie. And it's taken me a while to see it, and I'm wondering why I did. Because the original is so much better. It's got so much more warmth. It tries harder. This one seems too clean and sanitized. It's like a made-for-TV movie. And who's going to be scared of one of those, eh? Ta-ta.